resurrection power. And what we're talking about is the idea that that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the exact same power that is available to us as well. And so we talked last week about the Holy Spirit and the role of the Holy Spirit and the importance of the Holy Spirit and the fact that Jesus actually said to his disciples, essentially, you're going to be even better disciples when I leave, because you'll have access to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. And so that's what we talked about last week. What does the Holy Spirit do? How do we get access to the Holy Spirit? Can we block him out of our lives? And we talked about that. So if you hadn't heard about that one, then go ahead, download the app, and they're all on the app, or you can go watch online. And also, for those of you who are watching online, I don't know if the live stream is like really close right now. We were having some issues, but if not, great, but just know that we know about it. So but this morning, what I want to talk about is the idea of sin, and that's why last week I said, no one's going to want to come today because I'm talking about sin, and that makes people uncomfortable. But when you think about sin in a different way, you know, oftentimes you might think that God is in the business of ruining your life, of now I can't have any fun, I can't, you know, do this or that, and I have unbelieving friends or whatever, and they seem to be having a really good time during the week, and I'm kind of trying to remain holy or remain pure or whatever it is. And so you can kind of get the idea that sin, it's kind of a bummer that God doesn't let us do whatever we want, that he, you know, makes some very clear distinctions, some very clear boundaries for us. But if you think about it this way, think about it as though he is your heavenly father. If you've ever been around little kids, and they want ice cream for breakfast, and they want to, you know, watch cartoons all day, or, you know, sit on their iPad or whatever. Your job as an adult who knows better, who understands the consequences of those patterns of living, then you instruct them not to do those things, or you instruct them to do things, say please, say thank you, all that kind of stuff. Well, that's all sin is missing the mark of what your heavenly father knows what's best for you. That's all it is. And so we think in terms of sin as like this, you know, horrible, horrible thing, but really it's just God disciplining us for our own good. It's God saying, look, I know how this turns out for you. Don't do that. Don't do that, because he loves us very much. But our heart, our flesh, you know, kind of who we are, gets in the way of our brain. So we might even know that God loves us and that he's doing all this for our own good, but our heart gets in the way. I put this little thing up here. The brain is saying to the heart, I hate when you make me look like an idiot, right? But how many times has that happened to you or happened to me, where I'm like, oh, don't say that, don't say that, don't say that. And I just have to say it. And I say it, and it's like, you know, plane crash, right? Well, that's oftentimes when it's don't say that, don't say that, that's the Holy Spirit saying to us, hey, this, your life is not going to go well if you continue down this path. I wrote this down. Your heart is great for emotions. That's great for that. It's horrible for decisions. That's why you should never tell a kid to follow their heart. We'll see this why in a little bit at the end of the sermon. We'll see it, that the Bible says the heart is deceitful among all things. Who can understand it, right? And how many times did your heart get you in trouble, right? Where your brain would have said otherwise, or listening to the Holy Spirit. The heart's great for emotions. It's great to feel certain ways, but it's horrible for decision. So what we're going to do is we're going to spend a little bit of time in Proverbs. Proverbs is a collection of wisdom. We call it wisdom literature. It's a collection of sayings. It's a collection of different things that King Solomon wrote down. Now, King Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived. Now, he didn't follow his own wisdom and ended up really destroying Israel, but he asked for wisdom. David was his dad, King David, and so he was becoming king, and he went to God and he said, God said you can ask for anything you want. Like, wouldn't that be cool? Like a genie, right? Sometimes we treat God like a genie. But this case, it was really cool. I would have asked for 3 more wishes myself, but he asked for wisdom. He asked for wisdom. And God, and the really cool thing about this is the way he said it was, I need wisdom to lead this great people of yours. In other words, he knew that his job was to lead God's people. And so because of that, bless you, God said, not only am I going to give you wisdom, but I'm going to give you riches and all this kind of stuff. And so Solomon got this wisdom, and he began to write some things down. Now, some other things about Solomon is that he had 700 wives, okay, and 300 concubines, or maybe that's switched, but who really cares at that point, right? So you got, there's 1,000 women all around him, right? And so, one of the reasons he would do this is because every time he'd make a treaty with another people group, that marriage would seal the treaty. And so he basically wasn't trusting in God for their peace. He was working out all these deals. And so he had all these women. And so he didn't follow his own wisdom, but he did write down a lot of things, and it's written to his sons. Okay. And so that's where we're going to pick up. We're going to pick up in Proverbs chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. And here's what he's saying. And this is, again, a dad talking to his kids, just like your heavenly father wants to talk to you. And you could almost have him say this exact same thing. My son or my daughter, keep my words and store up my commands within you. Keep my commands and you will live. Can you just hear your heavenly father saying that to you? Just keep my commands and you will live. I know exactly how you're designed. I know exactly who you are. And I've been watching humans for thousands of years. And I know when it falls, when you go off the rails, how damaging it can be. And so Solomon's writing this to his kids. Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. Then he says this, bind them on your fingers. In other words, give yourself reminders of whatever that would be. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister. And to insight, you are my relative. In other words, be the kind of person that makes decisions based on wisdom and not based on your heart. Now, I don't know if you have a sister. I have a sister. I love my sister very much. We're very good friends. And she actually has a lot of wisdom. So when I read this, I'm like, oh, that sounds like Ellen, right? I have a joke that Ellen is the spiritual head of our household. So, because she just always has something important to say, right? So, but this, it's an idea that this is going to be so close to you, wisdom and insight. You are my relative. We live with it. So then he goes into this example, this story that he made up in order to explain this to his kids. And this story really describes how sin creeps into our life little by little by little, and how we take these steps. We often think of sin as like, okay, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to have an affair. I'm not going to, you know, whatever it is that your sin is. And we forget that there's hundreds of steps that lead up to that sin. And so when we sit that close to the sin, in other words, let's say these steps were an affair. If I live my life right here going, well, I'm not going to have an affair, right? What are my chances? Well, you're playing too close. You might not sin, but why would you be that close? If I stand back here and there it is, then I don't have to worry about it, right? That's how all sin works. And so here's the story that he tells. He says, at the window of my house, I looked down through the lattice. So he's sitting up there. He's at his patio and everything, and he's looking down. And I saw among the simple, I noticed among the young man, a youth that had no sense. Now, boomers, before you make any Gen Z or millennial jokes, okay, it's not the fact that the kid was young that he had no sense. It was that he hasn't had enough nonsense in his life to get sense. You know, he hasn't learned. He doesn't understand. Maybe he's arrogant. Maybe he thinks nothing bad could happen to me. Or that was me growing up. I just thought I was invincible, right? And so that's what he's saying. He goes, I saw this kid, right, this young man, and he had no sense. Now, do you think the writer saw the kid and just because he was young, he had no sense? Or do you think he's looking back over the story? Because watch what happens. He was going down the street near her corner. Uh-oh. Again, as a reader, you're going like, well, who's her? You know? And now, just before you think I'm sexist or anything, remember the wisdom is also a woman, okay? So, you know, equal, you know, you got sin being a woman, you got wisdom being a woman. So don't write, if you really do want to write me a strongly worded email, it's solomon@livingspring.com, okay? And just let them know. So he's going down the street near her corner, walking along, listen, in the direction of her house. Do you know that most of my sin that I experience in my life, direction, not intention, is what leads you astray? What direction are you going? You say, well, I'm not going to do that. Well, why are you going in that direction? Well, I'm going to stop right before I get to her house. It doesn't work that way. Direction, not intention, is what gets us into trouble. Why are you even on the internet at 11 o'clock at night? Why are you scrolling through all that stuff? Why are you talking to that person, that coworker at work, you know, the cute one, right? Like, why are you doing that? Well, I'm not doing anything. I just, direction, not intention. I knew a guy, he's been sober for a very long time, and he tells a story about, I've mentioned this before. We'll call him Steve, okay? His name's Tim, but we'll call him Steve. So I'll never get tired of that joke. I'm sorry. Okay. He would tell the story about he couldn't go below the 22 freeway. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, why can't you go below the 22 freeway? You know, and he's like, because there's a bar that's down that area. And if I go below the 22 freeway, I'm gonna see a sign, you know, a street sign, and I'm gonna turn down that street, and then I'm gonna turn down another street, and I'm gonna end up at that bar, and I'm gonna go into that bar, and I'm gonna drink, and then I lose my sobriety, right? Direction, not intention. That guy wouldn't wake up in the morning and go, I'm going to just get as close to that bar as I can to prove that I can do it. You know, he's like, no, son, it doesn't work that way. Right. And that's where we are now as the reader then. So walking in the direction of her house. And so you're like, there's no sin yet. Right. Is there anything in the Bible that says you can't walk down a street? Right. No. Dude's totally fine. Okay. At twilight. Uh-oh. Right? Have you ever talked to somebody and it's so obvious to you that they're going down the wrong path, and to them they're just like, whatever. Why is it so easy for me to see in other people their lack of wisdom, and yet I find myself walking down the middle of the street at twilight, right? As the day was fading, okay, and the dark of night set in. Now, in this culture, there is no reason to be out at night, okay? You're at home, you're with your family, you're in your community. There's no reason to be wandering all around. And so as you read this, as a reader of Proverbs, you'd be like, oh, man, I don't think that's a good idea. This is how sin works. There's no sin here. Okay? There's no sin. There's just the Holy Spirit going, hey, do you really want to go down that street? Do you really want to click on that? Do you really want to eat that, drink that, smoke that? Is that you sure? Because you remember how it ended up last time, right? You do remember that. That's how sin works. We just get closer and closer and closer. We say, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to fall off of here. What am I doing this close? What am I doing this close? These are boundaries that we set because our Heavenly Father loves us and knows that sin is going to destroy us. He's not taking away fun. He's protecting us. And so the dark of night set in. Then came a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute, with crafty intent. I want to bring back crafty intent as a phrase. I was reading that going, I don't think I've ever used that phrase in my life, crafty intent. Oh, there's Steve with the crafty intent. You know, I don't know. But again, so we understand again the concept. This is not Solomon saying that it's the woman's fault or this is her thing. He's describing what happens. There's something enticing about sin that we get closer and closer and closer. And so she comes out with crafty intent. And then listen to this. This is such a great description of sin. She's unruly and defiant. Her feet never stay at home. Now in the street, now in the squares, at every corner she lurks. Have you ever struggled with a sin and it just feels like it's everywhere? Like because you're struggling, because you're weak, because you are having difficulty with something, it just feels like everywhere you go, it's like right there. That's how it works. That's how it works. Anything can trip you up. I don't care how long you've been a believer. Anything can trip you up. You have to be on your guard. Okay, so that's where she goes. Now it gets kind of crazy, okay? Are there any kids in here? Okay, all right, good. Here we go. She took hold of him and kissed him. Okay. And with a brazen face, she said, "Today I've fulfilled my vows, and I have food from my fellowship offering at home." Now, don't try this at a club as a pickup line, okay? It won't work. But what she's talking about is this idea like, hey, I've made my peace with God. I'm good. You know, let's just, hey, we're two consenting adults. So I'm good. And this is the way sin works. It's not so bad. It's just this little thing. No big deal. Oh, that was in the Bible. That was, oh gosh, yes. That was 2,000 years old. We are much, much smarter now as human beings. Aren't we doing really good as a society, like over all those thousands of years? Yeah, no, we don't. Depression's at an all-time high, suicide, all these issues. We don't learn. And yet, we say, it's not that big of a deal for me. And watch what she says. Then she changes her language to be very Americanized, very Westernized. Because in the West and in America, we love ourselves, right? We take selfies, right? We just love to see ourselves. And it's all about me and my rights and what I want, my happiness, right? You know that, I don't know if you've ever heard the phrase, God just wants you to be happy. No, he doesn't. He doesn't. I'm sorry. It's not in the Bible. He wants you to be holy. And that brings about a deep joy and a deep happiness and a deep peace, right? That's what he wants. But we love ourselves. And so we demand this and we demand that. And here's what she says. So I came out to meet you. I looked for you and I found you. Oh, to that, you could just picture the young man going, moi? Me? Well, you know, I am quite, important, so I understand. She goes on. She says, I've covered my bed with colored linens from Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let's drink deeply of love till morning. Let's enjoy ourselves with love. Now, basically, she went to Bed Bath & Beyond, but... it's hard for us to get like in our culture to understand how she's saying it. So what I want to do is I want to reread the verse again in kind of in our context. Okay. I have covered my bed with colored linens from Egypt.
I've been feeling
dry. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes,
trying to hold back
cinnamon.
So
come,
long.
Let us drink deeply of love
you,
till morning. Let's enjoy
like
ourselves with love.
Come on.
Okay?
Oh.
All right. So that gives you an idea. That gives you an idea. Okay? But listen. And thank you for letting me joke around, okay? But this is the issue with sin, is that we get close and close and close, and then we all of a sudden we get ensnared and we're stuck. And God is saying, don't play, don't mess around, don't toy with it. Don't joke about it. Don't just get whatever you can do, get as far away from the back of this cliff as possible. And some of us, our cliff is different. There are some sins that I try to avoid in my life where I'm back like in the baptismal because I don't want to get anywhere near it, right? And the Holy Spirit the whole time might be going, hey, don't do that. Don't talk to them. Don't talk to them. You're like, what's the big deal? There's nothing in the Bible that says I can't talk to somebody. And the Holy Spirit's like, I'm not talking about the Bible right now. I'm talking about wisdom. It's like your sister, your relative, insight. You know you, and the Holy Spirit knows you even better. And so that's where we're at. Then she goes on, bless you. My husband's not at home. He's gone on a long journey, right? So now he's starting to think, oh, really? He took his purse filled with money, okay, well, and will not be home till full moon. And I can imagine this dude is like talking to her, and he's just like wanting so bad to look up at the moon, like, I wonder how long that's going to be till full moon, you know, like, please let it be just a little sliver right now. And the husband has a purse, so, you know, what are you going to do? I actually have a picture of him. I love this. There he is. That's the husband right there. He took his purse filled with money and will not be home till full moon. Now listen to this, you guys. This next verse is so powerful. It's so powerful because it's exactly how sin works in our lives. It's exactly how we talk to ourselves. Listen to this. With persuasive words, she led him astray. Okay, now listen. In the beginning, she was dressed like a prostitute. So you'd think that that would be the thing that actually seals the deal for him. Mm-mm. It was her persuasive words. And some of us are surrounded by people who we should not be giving the time of day to with their persuasive words. Because they lead, hey, it's no big deal, man. It's no big deal. Just go ahead, talk to her. Get that, do this. Yeah, no, oh, no, it's not a bad movie. I watched it 5 times. And persuasive, and all of a sudden you find yourself in this place you have no business being in. Because of persuasive words, she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. Sometimes I'll allow things into my mind, podcasts and things like that, that take me down a road that I have no business going down. And it's all under, well, I need to gather some information, or I need to learn about this, or I learn about that. This smooth talk. Here's kind of my point for this morning. Your flesh is always trying to sell you something, right? Oh, you're going to miss out. Oh, you got to do it now. Just pull the trigger right now. Oh, yeah. Oh, you deserve it. You deserve it, right? And the Holy Spirit is always going, no. I've seen too much. I know how this ends. I know the story. And so I wrote this down. Your flesh is in sales. The Holy Spirit is in accounting, right? Your flesh is just like, hey, oh man, let me show you this nice shiny thing or that. You can afford it. You can afford it. And the Holy Spirit is just like, you cannot afford that, okay? You can't, no, this is going to go bad. You know, you want it right away? Nuh-uh, you got to save for it. The Holy Spirit knows you so well that when the flesh begins to say, I think I'm going to do this, the Holy Spirit, who loves you so much is like, that's going to cost too much. That's going to cost you too much. Don't do that. Don't invest in that relationship. It's going to cost you, right? And so that's what happens to this guy, this kid. And then all at once, he followed her. He pulled the trigger, went into her house. Now watch the words that Solomon uses to describe what happens next. You're like, did he really write out whatever? No. Like an ox going to slaughter. Like a deer stepping into a noose till an arrow pierces his liver. Like a bird darting into a snare. Little knowing it will cost him his life. And that's why your heavenly Father says, don't sin. I know how it goes out. Look at these words, slaughter, noose, pierces liver, snare, cost him his life. If I just said that, you'd say to me, whatever that is, I don't want any part of it. It's sin. That's what it is. That's what happens. And you think to yourself, well, I've sinned. It didn't cost me my life. But see, don't you understand why Solomon starts out with the young man who had no sense? That's what you sound like when you say that. That's what I sound like when I say that. Well, I'll just dabble a little bit, or I'll just check this one thing, or I won't go this far because that's terrible. I'll just go to right here. And little know, you're going to slaughter. And that's what he says. So he goes on. Now then, my sons, listen to me and pay attention to what I say. Do not let your heart turn to her ways or stray into her paths. In other words, the way we might say it is keep your head on a swivel. It could happen at any time with anyone. No one's above the sin. No one's strong enough. You know, you just always go. Don't even let your heart turn. Like, we don't even spend any time going, you know, I could probably get away with that. I think I could. You know, I know gossip's wrong, but she needs to know what she said because, just for, as information, you know, he's got this going on, or I got a real juicy piece of information, and it's like, the Holy Spirit's like, no, don't do it, don't do it. And you're like, and then your flesh is just like, oh, man, this is a doozy of a story. Everyone's going to love it. Your flesh is in sales. The Holy Spirit's just like, too much. It's going to cost too much. Put it back. Put it back on the shelf. You don't do it. Don't let your heart even turn to her ways or stray into her paths. Don't play around with sin. Many are the victims. Many are the victims she has brought down. She's good at this. Her slain are a mighty throng. Sins slain are a mighty throng. You can look in your own life. You can look in the lives of people around you that have gotten caught up in a sin, and it cost them everything. They didn't start out that way. They didn't start out thinking, you know, one day, you know, I do a lot of weddings. And so typically I'm standing right here, and the two couples are facing each other, and, you know, they're, you know, crying or whatever, and, you know, they do their vows. And I've never heard somebody's vow of like, you know, I promise to be faithful until something better comes along. Like, I promise to be faithful until it starts getting really hard, and then, people are people. What are you going to do? I got to be happy. I just want to find the person that my soulmate. And maybe if you're not it, then, you know, what are you going to do? Right? I've never heard that. People don't start out with that plan. But what happens? They begin to let their heart turn towards her ways. And they wander down her street. And everything goes. Many are the victims. Nobody's off the hook. Her house is a highway to the grave. Sin is a highway to the grave, leading down to the chambers of death. You say, well, John, I just want to follow my heart. Don't follow your heart. This is what Jeremiah says, 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things. Like, you want to know who the person who's going to convince you the most in your life to engage in sin, you. You. Because you're listening to your heart, and the heart is just like, oh, okay, you know what? You deserve it. You deserve it. You know, you've had this childhood. You've had this going on. And, it's, you know, the IRS takes enough of your money. Just fudge a couple little numbers. It is, you know, they don't need to know about that. That was all under the table stuff. Don't worry about that, right? It's deceitful and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Now watch what happens right after this. I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. So now you have a heavenly Father that even if you're really good at fooling yourself, and I'm really good at fooling myself, and even if you have people all around you that are going, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, you have a heavenly Father that goes, oh no, I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. Don't remember how it worked out last time. Remember how everything is going, you know? And so it's just so sweet to see the heart is deceitful above all things, and then I, the Lord, search it and fix it, right? Listen to what, as we talk about the Holy Spirit, John 14, we talked about this last week, but watch what happens. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, the Holy Spirit, advocate to help you and to be with you forever. The Spirit of what? Truth. Truth. When we sin, we live a lie. It doesn't work. It never works. This is why God is so strict about this stuff, because he knows how you're designed. You're like a Ferrari. Okay? And it's just like, I'm going to go ride in the sand dunes. And there's like, no. Don't do that. Oh, no, I can. If I get a good enough head of steam, I go right up the sand dune. And it's just like, there you go. Because your Heavenly Father knows. And so the Spirit of Truth can examine your heart and examine your mind and say, hey. No. It's not going to go well for you. John 14:15 says this. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And so what it's saying is, this is a future tense thing. I asked Dr. Metcalf, and he told me. Thank you, by the way. I feel like I have like my own private professor that can just, I can just talk, you know, text at 3 o'clock in the morning. But the idea is this. When you begin to love Jesus, when you begin to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, your eyes are open to know, I don't want to sin at all. Why? Because he's going to smack you upside the head? No. Because it just doesn't work. He sets these things up because he loves me. He says, don't lie, because he knows the damage lying can do. He says, don't have a bunch of sexual partners, because he knows what that can do. He says, don't cheat people out of money, because he knows what that can do. As the worship band comes back up, John 16:12 says it this way. I have much more to say to you. Jesus is talking right now. More than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. When you start getting in your mind that this is going to be okay, and it's just a little this, or it's just a little that, or I can handle it, or whatever, my prayer for us this week is that we listen to that voice, the Spirit of Truth. Remember, Jesus said, you'll be better disciples when I'm out of here and you have access to the Holy Spirit. That's the same Holy Spirit that you have access to as he guides and directs you into all truth. We're going to take a little bit of time of reflection, and we open up the kind of the stage here. We call it the altar, and you can come and kneel down and pray. I like to do that every week just to kind of reset my week. But maybe maybe there's a sin in your life and you're like, man, this has got to stop. And so you want to just come and kneel, and no one knows what you're going through or anything. And maybe you want to kneel and just say, this today, this moment is when I turn around and I don't go down that street anymore. I don't do that anymore. Maybe for you, you know of someone who's really struggling. And you want to come down and pray for them as well and just go, man, Lord, you know, help them listen to your Holy Spirit. Help them be guided and directed or whatever. And you don't have to come down. You can sit in your chair as Tanner and the band kind of play along. And or maybe for you, you're really close. You're flirting. You're flirting with whatever it is, and you just want to go, you know what? I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to destroy my life. So I'll pray for us, and then we'll have this time of prayer, and I'll come back up and bless us after that. Lord Jesus, we're thankful that you sent the Holy Spirit that speaks your words to us. Thank you that you can judge the thoughts and intentions of our heart, that you can examine our minds, Lord. And so, Lord, we give you open, just an open door to do that, to speak the truth, even when it hurts, to speak it into our lives, and that we might become people who are holy. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, if you can, why don't you go ahead and stand for the blessing. Now, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I pray you would go in his peace, in his strength, and in his obedience. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week, and we'll see you next Sunday.